Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer Sattell. Don't forget to click the like, follow, and subscribe button. It helps you get notifications when new episodes drop. Okay, everybody, here is some information about all the things that are bothering me this week. And I want to tell you guys, I'm very excited to share this with you. Thank you so much for listening. And I just try to share some of my funny stories and hopefully they relate to you. So I'm backing up a couple weeks. My daughter gets out of school, I feel very early, like mid-May. And so I know the last week of school stuff is always kind of crazy, but I feel that she, you know, they just throw in, you have a award ceremony, then there's like a, you know, performance of theater, then there's some ukulele concert we didn't know was happening, and it's just all this crazy stuff. And I know you guys all are, if you have kids, you know, you're part of that craziness, but I feel like they've had the whole year to do all this stuff, and it's always that last week, and you're just like trying to figure out how to do it, when to do it, what do they need to wear to do it. And it was just like kind of very hectic and very special. She got an award at the end of the year, which was really special for her. And she got to play the ukulele at a concert, which was also just very special and fun. And we didn't even know that was a thing. It was just on the supply list. And here we are. She's having a ukulele concert. Who knew? And then the other thing that's kind of, I don't want to say annoying, not that that's annoying. It's special. It's not going to be forever. It just kind of gets very crazy and hectic, and you know, you want grandparents to try to make it and all this stuff. But her school gets out early, and one of the things that is really challenging for us is, in general, is, you know, summer camps don't start for, like, you know, usually it's like the first, second week of June, maybe a little later in some cases. But so we have this break of like 3 weeks from when she gets out to finding a camp or signing up for her camp and when she starts. And usually she goes and visits and stays with grandma, but we never have, you know, the 3 weeks, and I try to take a little bit of time off, whatever. But the crazy thing is her summer camp at her school, she usually does 1 month at her school and just stays at the school for the summer for the month of June. And then July she goes and does something else, and it's kind of fun, maybe with another friend or just something that she likes to do that's a little more, like last year it was theater. This year she wants it to be theater again. But her school decided to cut off a week of the camp. So instead of 4 weeks, it's now 3 weeks. So not only do we have 3 weeks break with no daycare, no childcare, no help. I mean, we get a little bit of help. But then now they cut off a week at the end of summer camp in June. And then she doesn't start her next summer camp for 2 weeks. So then there's another 3 week. So basically 6 weeks of no help. And there's no, I mean, there are a few camps, but some of them are outrageous expensive, as you know. But then they tried to gyp us. They gypped us a week of her summer camp. And I don't know. I didn't realize that till after I'd already signed her up. And I'm like, hey, mom, in a couple weeks, do you want to have Charlotte again for another week for us to kind of help us out? Because, you know, David and I have our own business. And any job, you can't just take off 3 weeks and it's, unless you're a millionaire, and we're not. So it's just interesting. It's like, I feel like, I don't know, it's very frustrating. There's summer camps galore, but not when you need them, really. You have so many to choose from in those peak 8 week period, but the rest of the time you're just kind of on your own, just like hoping maybe a friend can take Charlotte for some of the day and that type of thing, which she does have great, I have great mommy friends that do help us out, but it was just crazy. I feel like very stressed out trying to figure out that next round of 3 weeks, since I had to figure out this one. So that's something I'm sure we all are kind of partnering with right now and figuring out just that. And I know that summer camp is not something she's going to probably do forever. So I try to make her have a really nice summer because I do hear parents tell me that when their kids get to a certain age, I feel like it's, you know, maybe 10, 11 or whatever. A lot of them just say, you know, I don't want to go to camp anymore. I'm past it or whatever. So anyways, it's not going to last forever. So I want her to enjoy it is my point. I want her to enjoy it. So I will move mountains to enjoy it. Another thing I want to do is for her, because she is so special and wonderful. The last day of school, David, we have season passes to Universal. So David picked her up from school, half day, last day of school, and he took her to Universal, just her and him. They got to have a special time, and he did that last year as well. So he's kind of making it a thing, and they enjoy it. It's great. She's been asking me for about ever to go to Disneyland, just her and I, for like a year. Actually, she hasn't said you and I. She just wanted to go to Disneyland. So I surprised her, and I took her yesterday. And she was at my mom's. I went to my mom's house and spent the night and told her. So we got up yesterday morning, and we went. And right when we got there, I just knew right away it was going to be super, super busy. Even though I thought it was a Tuesday and not everyone was out of spring break. You know, I was wrong, and I don't know everything, and I really don't know Disneyland, and I don't sometimes care about Disneyland, but she cares, so I have to care. And it was bananas. It was so crowded. I wanted to blow my head off and then roll in dirt and then blow it off again, but I did not. I'm here, and I'm telling you about it because I had to laugh about something. So last year, I finally discovered, let me back up for a minute. Charlotte was 8 months old when we first took her to Disneyland. She was 8 months old. My mom was like, I think it'd be fun just to like walk around with her and just take her. And I was feeling a lot more comfortable, like, you know, going and stuff. My mom had gotten a season pass. So I in turn got a season pass. And then obviously Charlotte was free. So it also was a thing my mom and I did. So once a month we would go like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday and we would take Charlotte, and she was 8 months old. And then one of my really, really close friends also had a season pass. She didn't come every time, but she came a lot of times. So a lot of times we would just go and go on the little kiddie rides, and Charlotte, anything she could go on, we would take her on. Anything. It didn't even matter. Even a couple things I didn't think she should have gone on because I felt that they were a little bit scary, she went. We went. It was great. And I think that's part of the reason that Charlotte has no fear with stuff. She has fear with like certain things, but like rides and like that type of thing, she doesn't have fear. But put her on a bike, put her on a scooter, she crumbles like a big house of cards. So we went to Disneyland all the time. And it was great. Like I've mentioned before, it was just our special time. It was a special time with my mom. We got to see her. She said one of her first words at Disneyland when the fireworks were going off, she was like, wow. And it was really neat and special and such great memories. But once she turned to the age where we had to pay for her, we were clearly not going as often. And we snuck her. And I've mentioned that before. We snuck her for that last year, and whatever. I'm fine. Whatever. I have to pay $12 for a bottle of water. They can deal with it. But I did not, you know, they didn't have fast passes or lightning passes, or if they did, I'm not part of that, don't care, whatever. But last year, I discovered, they told me about, you should get the lightning pass. And I took her, and I didn't really understand the lightning pass very well, but I tried to just figure it out, and we were at California Adventure. So we just went on a couple rides where you did it, like the roller coaster and stuff. But this time, I'm like, okay, now I'm more familiar. So I get the lightning pass. We go and we put in the thing like they tell you to, and you get your time window. And I'm like, well, it's so, so, so crowded. And I've never really been to the Star Wars land because I would rather do anything but even be a part of that. But I thought, I think there's a ride over there. I don't know. So I'm like, we're going to be right there, right in the area of the first ride we're scheduled to go on. So let's go over to Star Wars and see if there's a ride. And there is a ride. And I look on the Lightning Pass, and it says whatever the name of the ride is, something, something Star Warsy. And I book it. I think I book it, okay? But I already have another time slot in like an hour. I'm like, great, we could go on this right now, and then we could just run over and go to the other ride. And now we've gone on two rides in like an hour. This is so great. Wow, what a great thing. So as I'm walking up to pull it up on my phone in Star Wars Town, I look down and I realize it says something for purchase. And I'm like, what does that mean? So I say to the lady, because I don't get embarrassed asking for help and questions, but I feel like at Disneyland, I should probably know everything because everyone's like, you don't know. But I'm like, hi, I'm kind of new to lightning passes. And I wonder why this one, it was highlighted, but it said for purchase and it doesn't show me the barcode. She's like, oh, for this ride, it's not included in the lightning pass. You have to pay for it. And I'm standing there and Charlotte's looking at me and I'm like, oh, I have to pay in addition to it to go on it in Star Wars Land. And she said, yes. So I'm like, oh, okay, great. So we go walk over and in my head, I'm screaming, are you fucking kidding me? Please shoot me dead. But then I look over at Charlotte, who's really excited because I don't think she's ever been on this ride and I've never been on it. And I'm like, sure, it's $28 a person. So I paid $56 for us to go on a ride at that time. Now, yes, I could have waited an hour and a half, sure, but I'm already there. I clicked it on the thing, so it was in my brain. So we paid $56. I don't know the name of the ride. It was called something, something, and then Star Wars people were in it. And it was actually a very cool ride. You were kind of in these, like, there was like three different rooms, and then you go in like this thing that looks kind of like a black beetle, and then there's like eight of you in a thing, and you go, and all this stuff happens. And honestly, it was a very, very cool ride, but I just want you to know that I paid an additional $56 to go on a fucking ride. But it did last a while. Like, the whole process was probably about 20 minutes by the different rooms and this and that, and it was really cool, and Charlotte and I had a great time. But all I thought is, why would you have that on the Lightning Pass option? Like, why? Why would you do that? I don't understand some of the stuff Disney does, because I think Disney does some cool stuff and a lot of the stuff I don't agree with and think about. And that was one of the things. I don't think I should pay $12 for water, and I don't think I should have to pay $56 additional to go on a fucking ride that says it's on the Lightning Pass. It shouldn't even be an option there. There should be another box that says other rides you have to pay for to get in faster. I could have waited, yes, I know, but that's not how the story went. So $56 later, but the ride was awesome. I will say it was very cool, done very well, but that's not my jam, but it was for yesterday because she had a great time and we had a great time. And there was a shit ton of people there and a lot of like graduating kids stuff with all the matching t-shirts and like groups of like 100 all wearing like blue shirts that say class of 2025. And I was like, this might not have been the best Tuesday to come. So with that being said, we survived and we had a great day and we got to do a lot of great things. And then it rained a little bit, which was fine. Charlotte wasn't worried about the rain, but yet she was petrified that she was going to get wet on that Tiana's Bayou ride, even though she knew it was a water ride. And I'm like, the raindrops are falling. You're probably going to get about as wet as that. She still was upset about it and freaked out, but then she was fine. We're fine. Everybody's fine. But we had a great time, just her and I, and it was a very special day. Another thing I want to talk about with Disneyland, there's so many things that irritate me and irritate me in life, and I'm sure I irritate people in life, and I'm not going to get to, but people like to stand in your ass when you're in a line. Like, we're all in the same line. We're all in the same line. It's really pretty much going at a snail's pace, but you're moving for the most part. Most of the ride, you're moving because there's a constant, you know, there's boats or whatever. It's constantly moving. 2 inches further into my ass is not going to get you there any closer. I don't understand. And I have like a space thing. Like, you know, don't be a space invader. I don't need to know what you're chewing. I don't need to touch your skin. I don't need any of those things. And or you step on the back of my heel or you step on my ankle bone and then you've pissed me off and now I want to give you stink eye and I just want to punch you in the nose. So that is not ever changing. I feel it's not just a trend of being in people's butts. They just like to walk and stand and breathe. I can hear them breathing and talking. I can hear all of your conversations. And it goes back to, I don't want to know all this information about you. You can just step like 2 feet back and we're all going to end up in the same thing. You're not getting there any faster than the person in front of you. So just shut up and stop being stupid and pissing me off. But Charlotte was there, so I was being very good. I was on my best behavior. I only gave stink eye a couple times and we survived. And I said minimal bad words. So that was a good thing too. But we had a wonderful day. We spent I don't know, is this a lot of money to buy a pretzel and a churro and two bottles of water for $30? I feel it is. I feel it is. I could be wrong. And it's Dasani water, which basically is like tap water, which I haven't drank for like 30 years. And I'm paying like $6 a bottle for Dasani. It's not even a big bottle. And you can buy a case for $6. So again, whatever. But yeah, that's whatever. We had a great day. It was fine. The end. The end of Disneyland. She had a great time. It's all about her anyway. And we had a blast. And we wore matching ears. And we did all the things that she was happy about. And I love it. And next time, maybe I'll tell David he has to take the bullet for Disneyland. I liked going places like that. It was just a lot. It's a lot. Like, and then you're trying to cram everything in, trying to get to all the rides, and you don't want to miss out because you're like, shit, I just paid all this money to go here and I want to see everything. But then, just a lot. And even the people on the trams, they even fuck that shit up. They like try to like squeeze in an extra person, or they try to like, they're going to fold down their stroller right as you're trying to walk in. And it's like, you had 20 minutes while you're waiting. I don't understand. And it's like people sometimes just don't accommodate like just like common courtesy. Like Charlotte can't sometimes hold the door, you know, like, or it's heavy for her. And then they just like let the door go and it like, you know, hits her, fine, whatever. But I try to be conscious about people around me and try to be helpful, because I know sometimes we can't always, you know, whatever. And people they just don't give a fuck. And that's really what it is. They don't care. So if they don't care, I'm still going to care, but I'm going to talk shit privately. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. So moving on from Disneyland, we had a fantastic day, but we are going to now continue my conversation about part two of the garage, which I believe this upcoming week, I have three scheduled. So when I say I do a lot of garages, I'm not kidding you. And some people just hate them from the get-go. Some people, it's a lot of it. Couples, it's the husband, supposedly it's all of their shit. In my case, it is all of David's shit, minus the Christmas decorations and holiday decorations that he says are mine, even though they're for the whole house, whatever. We left off with, I was talking about just like the starting point, and one of the things in feedback and questions and comments that I get, or text messages or whatever, is just kind of explain the process of where to start. That is where a lot of people really struggle. I see it every single day when I go to people's houses. They're like, how do you know where to start when you walk into a room? Because remember, even though I may be organizing their whole house or maybe just one room, you're seeing the big picture. So everything is, where do I start? And I just look at the one area, maybe the garage or like a bathroom or whatever it is. But let's just say the garage for conversation of today's point and everything sake, that I look at an area and I take everything in bite-sized pieces. So when I did part one, it was about the floor of the garage. And there's so many things that I probably could dive in even further, but just taking it in bite-sized pieces, everything is a puzzle. Every single thing you work on is a puzzle in terms of organizing, because a lot of times we shove shit in the garage to get it out of the house. But now, if I'm in the garage, I got to bring that stuff back into the house. But now you have no empty closet. You have no, that guest room, you know, storage or extra cabinet or whatever it is in your house, because you filled it with other shit, right? So now we have to figure that out. What is in the garage? What's going to go back in the house? And what was really important to bring back in the house? Because a lot of times we hide stuff in rooms or we hide stuff in the garage for many reasons. One is you just want the room to look clean, or maybe you're having guests. But if it's been in the garage for a year and you didn't miss it, do you still need it? And those are some questions that, you know, I kind of work through with people and kind of tackle, because it is, sometimes people, they just do not want to get rid of anything. I have clients that I've helped for many years, and I have also had to learn myself how to understand that some people do not want to get rid of stuff. And in my brain, I'm screaming like, you do not need this, all of this stuff. You may think you do, but if it's hidden, if it's in a cabinet in a garage that you don't even go in the garage because you walk through the front door, you're not even walking through the garage, let's try to revisit that and talk about what we can part with. So I talked about the floor and just kind of like starting there, because in a lot of cases, most garages, I'm not going to say every garage, but you have some kind of shelf. Maybe the house before had, even if it's old, might have had like a shelves on the wall, even on one side, or you've bought a cabinet, maybe a couple like baker's racks kind of cabinet or garage, you know, shelving, you know, quick and easy you've put together, not necessarily custom. Not everything has to be custom. It can be, it looks nice aesthetically, but it's not necessarily the most functional in all cases. Just obviously, if you have shelving or you put bins in stacks, that type of thing. So I'm going to go to the perimeter, but I'm going to go back to start in bite-sized pieces. So, you know, start with the floor, start with one side of the floor. I mentioned trash, same thing on the shelving. Sometimes it's not even that it looks so full. You're like, oh, there's no room for anything. If I take off one storage thing, five shelves, and I empty that whole thing, I bring it out onto the floor of the garage if there's room, or I bring it into the driveway, like I talked about. Sometimes it's nice to set up a table if you have it, just to be able to kind of go through some stuff that maybe isn't as easy, maybe a little more time consuming. Maybe it's papers or, you know, just shit you threw in a box in a bin, right? Sometimes it's easier to make a little workstation. It's not just like, hey, crawl on the floor and crawl on your elbows and go through this stuff, because no one wants to do that. But sometimes you pull that stuff off, and once you get rid of the empty boxes and the stuff that you've kept, oh, I got a, you know, blender 12 years ago and I kept it in case I could return it back to Costco. Just be done with it. Bye. You kept your blender for 12 years. Move on. So you realize that we just aren't using our space efficiently. And that's kind of what I try to guide you with, is everything will have a space, but let's be smart with the space you have. Not everyone has the luxury of having all of this endless, you know, space. So garages are fairly standard. You know, rarely do I see a one-car garage. Mostly it's a two-car garage. One-car garage is really just an extra room where everything goes to die. But a lot of times you may not park in a two-car garage because, I don't know, back in the day they thought two cars could fit in a garage. But now with cars being SUVs and bigger and stuff, you really can only fit one car in most cases. So just be smart with that space, and, you know, make sure you have space for a car if they want to park in the garage, and maybe they don't. Some people want to have half their garage area to be a gym. Some people are now converting it into kind of like a play area where, or like a TV room, if they maybe don't have, you know, maybe they don't have a family room and a living room. So they'll make it kind of, because they have teenagers and teenagers want to hang out and watch movies and play video games or whatever they want to do. And they make that space there. So we want to make it functional, but also, you know, look organized. So pulling stuff off of the shelves, and again, going through everything. Like, I touch every single thing. Unless you say, do not touch this or you will die, I touch it. Because you forget about stuff that you had. Where is that? Oh, I didn't even know I had that. Oh my gosh, I bought this already, and now I have 17 I didn't know I had. So it's those kind of things. But going back to the puzzle, everything is a puzzle. So the stuff that we know needs to go into back into the house. The stuff that you need is maybe like clothes that now you can fit in. A lot of people, a lot of women, and some men in some cases, they keep stuff that, you know, maybe the wife had gained some weight, but now she's lost that weight again. And, you know, within the year, and she's like, hey, I want to bring these clothes back in. Great, let's do it. Because now we know we need to purge, obviously, in her closet. But if that stuff's been out there for a while and you didn't even think twice about it, you didn't even think like, I should pull that stuff out of the garage, I'm going to talk to you about just like revisiting and seeing what really is important. Some people, because lack of space, I've been doing this a lot in houses because their closets maybe are small, or maybe they just have a lot of fucking clothes. I mean, let's be honest, women especially have a lot of clothes in most cases. So now I'm like, hey, let's pull out your winter stuff, like winter, not just like a sweater, but I mean like, you go skiing or you guys go on trips in winter, you have a family house you guys go to, Big Bear in the winter, whatever it is. Maybe we put that in one bin and then you can pull that out and put it in the garage. And that's a great thing to keep in there because you're really only using it seasonally and usually once or twice. Some people have like four or five winter bins and they'll tell me that they haven't even gone in the last couple years to the snow. And I'm like, well, you know, you have children and that stuff that you put in there 2-3 years ago, I'm guarantee you it doesn't fit them anymore. So, and they're like, oh yeah, I didn't really think about that because you just think of winter clothes. So we go through that and kind of pare down some stuff. And I just want it to be functional and make sense for you. And I try to kind of divide it, the space and the parameter of, you know, holiday decorations, obviously. And I think I mentioned this in the first part is holiday decorations. We can go through everything all together, but sometimes it's nice because you're in that zone when you're decorating for the Halloween or Christmas, you're looking at and you're really seeing what you put out. So the stuff that you're like, this is broken, or, oh, I never even used this the last couple of years, then, you know, let's donate it or chuck it, whatever you want to do with it. And that sometimes can be a good time to go through those specific boxes because you're not, you know, you're not maybe in the zone right then. You want to see where you place it, or, you know, maybe it's a new house and you're like, I don't even know if this is the vibe I want, whatever. There's a million stories to everything, but that's a great time to kind of purge the actual holiday stuff, label it, have it up high. You're not using it very often. A lot of times people have areas that are maybe pool or beach, you know, stuff, especially with like little kids, you know, you want to have those, the buckets and the, you know, stuff. Charlotte's still into that kind of stuff when she goes to the beach. So I definitely kept, you know, an area for her. She has like a shelf that is like all the beach sand toys. And on a side note, I hate sand. Just FYI, I hate a lot of things. I have a lot of like sensory stuff and I hate sand to my soul. I absolutely love the beach. I love sitting at the beach. I love listening to the beach. I love going on vacations at the beach. I do not go in the ocean and I do not like sand. So it's very, very interesting that I actually love it so much that I don't really even get to enjoy it, because when sand touches the tops of my feet, I want to rip my skin off and burn it. But sand toys are in the garage. You know, pool inflatables, if you have a pool and all that stuff, I like to keep that in one specific area. You know, and then a lot of people want to keep memories. And when I say memories, it doesn't need to be picture memories. It could be like, I have two bins from my high school, junior high days that I have two bins only. A lot of people ask me this. I have two bins, yearbooks and stuff from like high school and junior high and, you know, t-shirts that I made, you know, whatever, my very first like, you know, home ec project, whatever I have. Those kind of memories are great. You just store them up, you know, you get them up high, or, you know, that's not as accessible. I don't like to keep pictures in the garage. I think unless you have, I only like to use plastic bins. I've probably mentioned this before. Sometimes we like to just keep stuff in boxes. Maybe you moved and you already know it's all memories, and that's fine if you want to keep it. But for space and like presentation, it's uniform. You can label it. But also, if you have a leak, if you have anything, the bins do kind of protect it from that. And I'm a real believer on that, especially, you know, you have a lot of fires and a lot of, you know, water damage, or older houses have leaks and you don't know. And some of that stuff is really precious, and especially photos, I feel are just, you know, really special. And I love the tangibility of photos, but I would try to steer clear of leaving those in the garage. But pretty much everything else, some people have big furniture pieces that maybe their parents gave them. You know, those are things you have to kind of revisit, because on a side note, I hate storage. Like, I'm not talking bad about public storage units or, you know, all those storage places, because there are reasons that you need it and I get it. But sometimes people buy them because they ran out of space in their garage, or rent them because they ran out of space in their garage. And some of it is like stuff that you never, ever even think about. And you're paying upwards of $500 to $700 a month to keep that shit in there. And to me, that makes no sense. Especially, it doesn't matter if you're a zillionaire. It's just like a waste of money. And not for the storage unit place. They actually love your business. But there are some times where you're transitioning. Maybe you live in an apartment right now because your house is being renovated, or you have to get a storage. Of course, that's fine. But to have it just to store stuff that you're just like, well, I don't really want to know what to do with it, and it doesn't fit in our garage, and you've had it for 3 years, and you start thinking about what you've spent at $700 a month, it's just a waste of money. So if you have those big furniture pieces that, you know, were hand down, and, you know, you felt obligated, or maybe you felt guilty not, let's talk about it. Or can we use it in your house? Or can you utilize it somewhere else in an office or something? And if not, let's think about what you can do with it. And if you're not ready to part with it, that's fine too. You know, there's no gun to your head. But just think about, you know, in terms of what are we keeping it out of guilt? Are we keeping it out of obligation? Or are we keeping it because we know we will use it? And then that's, you know, we'll make a space for it, of course. Most people have a refrigerator in their garage or a freezer or both. Some people have a refrigerator and then a separate freezer. You know, just, and sometimes the outside is just for drinks, waters and sodas and kids stuff. And, you know, maybe you guys have a lot of parties and that kind of stuff, and that's perfect. That's a great place for it. There's so many things we keep in our garage. I try to keep an area I mentioned last time that is kind of dedicated, and it may not be a separate storage thing of maybe five shelves, and I call it a baker's rack. It's just that just kind of gives you an idea. You can have shelving in the garage, and you made it. We niched out a space for that. But like your Costco stuff or extra stuff that you have, toilet paper, paper products, all of that. Sometimes, you know, food stuff, maybe, you know, extra cereal or whatever. I'm not a big believer of food stuff in the garage, but if it's sealed and you want to keep it on the shelf and you know it goes through in a week, by all means, please do. Extra drinks, whatever. But take it in bite-sized pieces because you, if you look at the big picture, when I look at somebody's garage, if I look at pictures of people's homes, their closets, and they're in complete disarray, right? That kind of stuff does not intimidate me nor make me, you know, feel overwhelmed. But I have a skill for that. Like I just think of how can I help your life be easier and how can I help your life be less stressful and just kind of calm down what I can help with. And for some, they just see the big picture. They're like, I don't even know doing one drawer would take me a week. And that's why you sometimes need those extra set of hands. I talk about it all the time. Sometimes we need an extra set of hands that we maybe, you know, are scared or embarrassed to ask for, but that's what I'm here for. That's what I do. And I enjoy it. And garages, minus the bug factor of it or spiders or creepy crawlies, I actually love doing a garage because you really can see an impactful difference. And on the podcast, when you see a new episode drop, a lot of times I do try to include some pictures or some, you know, things. And for garages, before and after pictures will be on there because you really see a wow factor in that. And a lot of times people think, oh my gosh, that must have taken you forever. I can tell you probably how long it has taken. And I've seen some shit. I have seen some shitty garages, floor to ceiling shit. And I thought to myself, oh my God, I'm going to move in to their house to be able to finish this a long time ago when I first started. And maybe it only takes me 7 to 8 hours, which really, it probably took you 6 years to get it like that. So to think about it that way, you know, it's definitely doable. You know, some have taken a little longer. It depends on how, you know, how much stuff there is. A lot of times there's nooks and crannies. Now, from a storage space capacity or from a storage mindset, excuse me, the newest thing, the newest trend, I should say, is they have those storage things that there's two options. A lot of times you see them at Costco where they go on your roof of your garage or your ceiling of your garage. They're metal. You could put bins in there. They also have ones that are really cool, even cooler if you have the budget for it, where you can press a remote. It lowers itself down. You put the bins on, then it raises it up. And that's another thing to kind of get that stuff that you're really not touching, you know, maybe once or twice a year. Those are great. You have to have a garage that isn't as old where they have like rafters and like beams and stuff like that. You know, the newer ones that are just really the garage door, mabob, whatever that is, the bebop that's on the top, but you don't have any of the rafters and old shelving and some of the newer ones. Those are aesthetically perfect for having these kind of Costco garage storage things that they have. And I don't know exactly what they call. I call them overhead storage. So let's just call them that. Those are fantastic and reasonably priced in comparison to maybe redoing and getting a custom garage. Most of us don't have the budget, especially now everything is so expensive. Most of us don't have the budget to just be like, oh, you know what? I'm going to spend $6,000 or $12,000 and get my garage redone. But there's some things that you could probably do for $500 to $1,000 that are going to make your life so much better. Ideally, you don't want to have stuff on the ground. Obviously, if you have kids in sports, bikes and this and that. But there's so many very inexpensive things that I will also include to show you just ideas for like sporting goods storage. You know, not just throwing everything in an old drink holder. that you have at parties where you put all your sodas with ice and then now it carries all your bats, old bats that maybe your kids don't even use anymore because now they're 15 and you got it when he was in two. And let's get rid of some of those things and donate those. But there's a lot of tools and stuff that I will share if you get a chance to click on those links that will be included. It gives you a visual, and I am a visual person. I'm a visual learner. I am not, if you tell me to read a book, a pamphlet, just give me the end result of what I need to do. Tell me how to do it, and I'm in. And a lot of people have to see the picture, see what it is, and understand what I'm talking about. So I do try to make it a little bit easier for you that way by including those so you can visually understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about these things. There are some garages that are so badass, I have to tell you, where they have like the epoxy flooring where you could actually sit on the garage. You know, people put rugs and they have like these, you know, special lounge areas and stuff. And that's really great and wonderful. Again, you know, there's some really picture perfect garages and there's some that we can do that's a little more realistic for our budgets. And I also try to make that feasible and I can do all of it. I've done all of it, but I know for the majority of us, some of these tricks really help kind of just salvage that space. You could get your car in there comfortably. You can open the doors. You can do all of the things. And I'm trying to remember when you are labeled. Oh, another thing is a lot of men have, they have their memories of like baseball card collections, football card, you know, football trading cards. They got, that was their thing. Books and binders and all of the things. And, you know, again, I like to keep that stuff. I mean, some people keep it, some men want to keep it in the original boxes that they, maybe the baseball cards came in just for their own thing, and that's fine. But I try to put those in bins, and maybe those are larger bins. You know, Costco has those great black bins with the yellow lids that kind of snap closed, like you physically know this mother is totally going to stay closed unless something crazy happens. Those are great. You know, if you're storing them, put them in there, but keep them in the boxes if that's what you need to do. Clothing, I see that a lot. Like I touched on a minute ago, women or men who just, you know, maybe lost some weight, gained some weight, whatever, vice versa. But how long has that been? And if it's been in the garage, you know, and it's been in a reasonable amount of time and you know those jeans fit and you don't want to be buying all new clothes, of course not. No one does. But again, I go back to how long have they been in there? Let's donate them before they get kind of destroyed by maybe moths or whatever, or life, or just the elements. And if you do lose weight after, you know, putting those clothes away, you're going to want to celebrate too. So, you know, you can help other people out by donating some of that stuff that maybe you haven't really missed as much. You just, you know, keep that one pair of pants, keep that one thing that was really special, you felt the best that you looked in, and then the rest can just kind of go because it's been out there for a couple years. I believe I touched on this before, but I am going to say it again because I see this at every single house. Bags of bags, bags of bags, bags of bags. I cannot say enough of how many fucking bags do we need. I went shopping and I got this really cool bag. And, oh, look at this one. This is a great reusable bag. So make a bag, a reusable bag, put, you know, 10 bags in there. Put that in your car. If you go to the grocery store and you bring your own bags, I have that in my car. I always just forget to bring it in. And then when I get in there, I end up spending the 10 cents a bag because I've already put all my stuff on the thing, and now I'm not going to run to my car to get a bag. I don't care. Some people truly bring them all in. Put that in your car. Get it ready to go and, you know, keep that. And then in your garage, keep some bags. Sure. Keep another small bag of bags. Pick 5 plastic, 5 paper, and 5 reusable, whatever you decide. I see garages where a fourth of it is different bags of bags, duffel bags that, you know, was your college sports bag. And I'm like, is it a memory? Well, no, I sometimes use it. When? Okay, well, the last probably 10 years ago. Okay, but it's a great bag. Okay, well, what are you doing with it though? If it's a memory, you want to hang on to it because it was your first, you know, wrestling bag or whatever, fine, great, keep it. But let's just like get that down because that's a lot of wasted space too. And I'm not even joking when I say I see it where it's more than a fourth of the garage. It's just bags of bags. Luggage, great way to just store your luggage. We all know you have a big suitcase, usually you have a middle suitcase, put those together. Sometimes you have a duffel bag that went with that set, put it all in there, then you just have the one. store them where you can reach them. So they're accessible if you travel a lot. If you don't travel a lot, or you'd like to travel more, but you don't, you know, you put them up a little bit higher so you don't have to worry. There's some people that travel like every month. Have your suitcase accessible. And maybe it's on that rack that I was talking about, or those shelves that are just really right there. You don't have to worry about, you know, digging and searching and moving 12 things to get to one thing. I don't like touching things more than two times. Two times to me is realistic. Anything over that just pisses me off. And also, it's not necessary. So we'll just keep everything together, make it easy for you. And I try not to have to touch things a lot. And I want the same thing for you. Once I get a space, everything will have a place. I can get as detailed, and some people want me to label all the shelves, label everything, because maybe their housekeeper puts the Costco stuff away. They want to know that she knows where it goes, or maybe she unpacks the suitcase and puts them away. So I love to label, so I'll label the shit out of everything. Some people don't care. They're like, I can see it. So it's whatever you need or whatever works for you. But the idea to have to get on a stepladder, get on a ladder and all of that, I don't do that. So I try to do things. If I'm not wanting to get on a ladder to get something down that I use fairly regularly, I'm not going to do the same for you, because I feel that I'm a pretty good example of trying to keep stuff that is realistic versus, you know, Pinterest perfect. Throwing stuff away, you know, you know how many people throw Amazon boxes in the garage too? They don't even break, they just throw them in the garage. They open it up and then throw it in the garage, and you go in, and also another half of the garage is just empty boxes. It's like it takes five minutes, break it down right before trash, put it in there, go. Then you can pull your car in. Sometimes I've gone in there and half of the stuff is just empty boxes. I don't know that you needed me. Maybe you did, but if you just emptied your boxes, I think you'd be in good shape. Everything is always labeled. I do try to keep, I always use the stuff that you have. If you already have bins, I'm not bringing in new bins. I'll use what you have, even if they're not in order, if they don't make sense. But if you don't have bins, it's nice to get, you know, uniform bins, at least the same size. And I like the bins that have the latches that close, but also the ones that snap are great too. So there's ones that kind of just are really cheap, like $5.99 bins. And when you close it, it doesn't quite stay closed. And I always feel like, you know, it's just not 100% secure. I like to keep things in the garage 100% secure. God forbid if anything does happen. I do see a lot of flooding. When we have a lot of rains, that'll come in through the bottom of the door and just flood. So as much as we can get off the floor, onto the shelves, onto something, racks or whatever. And also, if it is on the floor, it's plastic bins, or it's something that if it floods, it's not destroying it. Because I have seen a lot of destruction on flooding too, with the older, you know, older, maybe not as insulated garages, and it just kind of goes through the bottom and just ruins a lot of stuff, especially like furniture pieces that you see that you've been holding on to. So now you didn't do anything with it, and now it got destroyed, unfortunately. And it was a very special piece or a nice piece. So those are just some tricks that I like to tell you, and things that, you know, work for my job and work for my own home as best as I can with a husband who doesn't let me want to, you know, touch anything. But that's okay. You know, we're not talking about David today. We'll talk about him next time. But I just garages are scary at first, but they aren't if you take it in bite-sized pieces. Another thing I've mentioned before, just in case you were ever wondering, I do a lot of Zoom consultations. Sometimes I will go to people's houses and do consultations, just a walkthrough of their house and just be like, this is what I think, this is what I think. But a lot of times Zoom ones are really nice too, because you're in the room and you're just walking it and showing me, or you send me a video or whatever it is. But if you ever want to do Zoom consultations, maybe you don't have the budget to afford, you know, the help on that end, but you do want to have somebody to kind of walk you through and give you a map of what it should look like. That's something that is something that I do offer. And if you ever have questions about that, you know how to reach me on social or on email or whatever. We have all of that information. But sometimes it's nice to just kind of see me, hear what I have to say, and you're walking through and I kind of give you some tips and stuff like that. So any of those questions, anything that makes your life easier and you need a little bit of help or guidance, or you just have questions, I love answering questions. And I do get a lot of them. So thank you so much for listening. Remember, like and subscribe, because who doesn't want to know when the next episode is dropping? I know I do. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me today. And I look forward to the next episode. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Satel for more organizing tips, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.